It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome in once again, everybody, to another edition of the Boston Celtics post-game radio program right here at CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy alongside Matt Rory, Nick Sesento, taking your phone calls behind the glass this evening on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines. Your final score tonight from the Boston Garden, the Celtics and the Lakers, the rivalry that was just doesn't have the same sort of, I don't know, flair, pizzazz, pick your word, that it used to have. One team in full rebuilding mode, the other creeping up on first place in the Eastern Conference. We'll get into the fact that if you look at the Eastern Conference standings right now, what's most shocking to me is, yeah, the Celtics are two games behind Cleveland, but Cleveland's won 33 games. The Celtics have won 32. That's an amazing statistic to me. Once again, your final score this evening from the Garden, Celtics 113, Lakers 107. Matt Rury, your first impressions on what you saw tonight from the Garden.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start at the beginning where Marcus Smart was excellent, and he set the tone for this game. I mean, you see Isaiah Thomas coming in the fourth quarter and doing his scoring thing, and we're going to talk plenty about him throughout the course of this show. But Marcus Smart, to me, was the guy that set the tone early. He made it clear that the Celtics were not going to just give this game to the Lakers like they did last year in Kobe's last game. What an embarrassing game to be at. But tonight they got the job done, and it started with him. And he didn't score as well as a lot of people would want him to, I suppose, but he was excellent as far as passing the ball was concerned. And he had a couple of those just rip the ball away steals, which is pretty rare in the NBA nowadays. And it's just so much fun to see a guy that's able to just sneak up on somebody or play him straight up and just go face to face with him and say, nope, that ball is mine, I'm going to take it. So Marcus Smart set the tone for the Celtics tonight, and the rest of the team followed, and they ended up pulling this one out.
Well, once again, you know, Marcus with a complete game, 9 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, leads the Celtics in plus minus at the plus 10 tonight, which really tells the story of his impact on the floor. I'm with you. And sort of my mindset when it comes to Marcus Smart has sort of, there's been a bit of an evolution this season, Matt, when it comes to Marcus. When the season first began, I was very willing to let the Celtics wave bye-bye to Marcus, be it in a trade or whether they just chose not to re-sign him when his rookie deal is up at the end of next season. And I still think of the three guards that will come due at the end of next season, that being Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, and of course Isaiah Thomas, I still think that he is most likely the one that will not return as a Celtic the following season, because quite frankly, he's playing pretty well. His trade value is as high as it's been this season, I'd say right about now. He's making an impact on victories. But I did want to ask you the question. Look, the Celtics struggled last year in the playoffs without Avery Bradley. The first time Bradley went down with an injury this season, the Celtics struggled without AB. But now it's 9 consecutive games, 10 out of the last 11, without Avery Bradley. And you can make the argument that the Celtics are playing their best basketball of the season, now 14 games over 500. Does this recent stretch of improved play and the fact that the Celtics have climbed the ranks in the Eastern Conference without Avery Bradley on the floor make you think that maybe he's the expendable one here?
No, I don't think that. I think that the other guys have stepped up really nicely, and I think that Isaiah Thomas is really carrying a load that he probably won't be able to carry throughout the playoffs. So I would like to still see Avery Bradley be the guy that comes back healthy and impacts the game on the defensive end for this team. But you're right, they are being a little bit more cohesive right now, but I think that's pretty much just bad timing for the injury on Bradley's part, because this is around the time of the season that this team tends to get their stuff going anyway, and they start to figure things out, and the rotations are more solid, and guys are used to playing with each other. So Bradley just went down at the time when the team in general is starting to be more cohesive, which is just going to make it look even more Like, he's the one that would be the odd man out. I think if he were playing, they would still be gelling, you know?
I bring it up not because I'm advocating the departure of Avery Bradley. I bring it up because if the Celtics are going to make a trade here, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of trade talk as we start to approach this trade deadline, if they are going to make a trade, it most likely or more than likely, if it's an impact player, you would think that one of these three guards would have to go in the deal, if only because – and this theory is more than a theory, I believe, that the Celtics cannot – they can't pay all three. And you've got one that's going to demand max money in Isaiah Thomas. Avery Bradley is one of the better two-way guards in the league. He's going to get a big deal. Put it this way, if Evan Turner is worth $75 million, what is Avery Bradley worth? And by the way, Bradley is not taking any sort of a hometown discount. He's been there, done that. And if you pay attention to the back channels, and I know you do, Matt, it's been whispered more than once – that AB is unhappy with his current contract. So he's going to want to get paid and probably a little bit overcompensated for taking the hometown discount the last time around. So that leaves Marcus, who does all the intangibles and he makes all the effort plays. It seems like whenever there's a close game and the Celtics have been in a bunch of them this season, he makes the quote unquote winning plays. And that doesn't always necessarily mean the winning basket. I think back to the Celtics last game, the jump ball. That was a perfectly placed jump ball that helped seal that win for the Celtics. It always seems like he finds himself in the middle of good things happening in close games. Again, that being said, the Celtics don't have the luxury of bringing all three back on long-term deals. And again, yep. if you're going to trade for Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Carmelo Anthony, just an impact player, you got to give something to get something. And I wonder, of those three, you have to assume Isaiah Thomas is sticking around for the long haul. That leaves Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart. I'm starting to change my tune a little bit, thinking that maybe Avery is the one that's more expendable, because Terry Rozier right now is giving you the offense and Marcus Smart is giving you the defense. So the two of them combined are sort of making up for AB's loss.
Yeah, you know what, Patrick? I am more inconsistent with my thoughts on who they should keep at this position than Marcus Smart is from night to night as far as his intensity level is concerned. or let's go even a step further. I'm more inconsistent than Kelly Olynyk, okay, on this topic, because I am on record this season for not only saying that the Celtics should have traded Isaiah Thomas 6 weeks ago when I thought that his value was the highest that it would be as far as something you would want to trade. Now his value is too high. He's untradeable. Okay, let's get that out there. So I'm not going to advocate that anymore. I'm also on record for saying that if Bradley, Thomas, and Horford are your big three max contracts that you just mentioned, I'm not down for that, which was part of the fuel to my trade Thomas rants earlier in the season, because I was all in on Avery Bradley. Now that he's hurt, it's a little bit more difficult to defend a player like that. So I'm still going to say that I don't want that to be the big three. And I'm somewhat leaning towards Marcus Smart as well, especially if you're trying to get value as far as the contract is concerned. Because you said it, Bradley's going to demand a high contract, and I'm going to stick to what I said earlier in the season, that I don't want those three to be the big three. Isaiah has locked himself in as one of those big three. I think Horford deserves to be there, and he's already there as far as the money is concerned. So that, to me, leaves Bradley as the guy that's the odd man out for max contracts on this team. And maybe his value is higher than people think while he's injured right now. Who knows? He could get shipped off at some point. But Marcus Smart definitely set the tone tonight, and he still needs to be more consistent from game to game, week to week. But if that's the type of game that we can expect over the years as Celtics fans, I think you have to be happy with that. So I, too, am sort of shifting gears and am more willing to give up Avery Bradley in a deal than I was just 4 to 6 weeks ago.
And real quick, just to sort of put a cap on this portion of the program, when you talk about the three max contract guys, look, I'm in agreement. I don't think Avery Bradley is a max contract guy for this team. He might be for another team that can afford that luxury. But even if the Celtics are able to go out there and acquire Gordon Hayward in free agency, Jimmy Butler through a trade, Paul George through a trade – and that is your third quote-unquote max guy, I'm not sure if that elevates you to championship status. And that used to be where the conversation ended. But there is one more way through, one more way to break through and become a championship contender while paying three, let's just call them underwhelming sort of max guys. And that's if a guy like Jaylen Brown takes that next leap. And I am more encouraged now than ever that he could potentially take a leap into stardom while still playing under a rookie deal. Tonight, Jaylen Brown, another impactful game, gives you 12 points. But more than that, what's really been encouraging about watching Jaylen play, especially the last 3 or 4 weeks, is the way that Brad's using him, because suddenly you know that Brad trusts him. You're finding Jaylen Brown out there in crunch time. You're seeing Brad Stevens go to Jaylen Brown to make plays specifically for Jaylen Brown. It's no longer accidental offense or making the spectacular dunk or the putback. There are plays being run for Jaylen, and there are plays being run for Jaylen in crunch time, in close games, which tells you he's doing it at practice, and the coach has got confidence in this kid.
The coach does have confidence in this kid, but the conspiracy theorist in me sees a player for the Celtics every year that emerges from the shadows, and then more often than not, he's traded away because that's the guy they decide to showcase. Not only for the Celtics, you see this around the league. So the conspiracy theorist in me is a little concerned that they're showcasing Jaylen Brown like this right before the trade deadline, because I don't want him to go anywhere. I think that he's going to turn out to be a great player. I think he has the mindset and the mentality to succeed in this league, and the athleticism is definitely there. So he's already on the right track. I want to see him stay in green. But the problem with that, Patrick, is that he is definitely the brightest young piece on this team. So I'm sure if any teams are out there saying, hey, we've got this superstar, Danny, but we want Jaylen Brown in return, that's something that Ainge is going to have to consider, because he's probably the number one guy on people's lists at this point.
There's lots to get to this evening here on the Celtics post-game show right here. CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. The number to join us on our movement watches, toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It is a big weekend in Boston. It is a big weekend in New England, all capped off with the Super Bowl Sunday night kickoff at 6:30. The JV game, so to speak, is almost equally as exciting to me. Paul Pierce coming back to town for the final time. If you follow Paul Pierce on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, you'll notice that Paul Pierce tonight tweeted out and put on his Facebook timeline a video from his first return back to the Garden back in 2014 with the Brooklyn Nets. He is really looking forward to coming back to Boston, not only to play in the game, play in the building for the final time, but he's going to stay put in Boston for the evening and watch the Super Bowl amongst Bostonians. And I just think that's a very, very cool way to cap Paul Pierce's career in Boston, and a very cool way to begin sort of the Super Bowl coverage here in Boston. I tell you what, we've got wall-to-wall coverage this weekend of Paul Pierce's return right here on CLNS Radio. It's going to start with Larry H. Russell's film, Paul Pierce, the Greatest Pure Scorer in Celtics History. The film features interviews from former Celtics general manager Chris Wallace, Sean Grandy, Bob Ryan, and it was produced by Kyle George. The way to watch this film is you subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel. You don't want to miss out. And for further details, you want to head on over to clnsradio.com. I will say this, I was able to watch the first two portions of the film, so a little over 11 minutes today. And as a Celtics junkie at 36 years old, Paul Pierce was drafted when I was 18, Matt. This guy has been in the league for my entire adult life, and that's without exaggeration. My entire adult life has only known Paul Pierce as a member of the National Basketball Association. And to see him come through the Garden one more time, I'm sure Doc, who's been resting Paul, who Paul doesn't play very consistently, I'm sure he'll get his touches. I am sure he will get his minutes, as Doc is very much aware of the moment, aware of the situation. I'm just really looking forward to what Sunday's going to bring.
Man, Paul Pierce, huge Patriots fan. So if you didn't realize that while he was here, you can know it now, because like you said, he's going to be watching the game and rooting for the Pats. I think he's got a lot of respect for Tom Brady. That's a mutual respect for sure. Listen, this guy is the ultimate Celtic. He fought through some down years. He guided the team to a championship. He won the MVP of that finals, and it was an incredible ride to see him play. He is the only player ever in the history of the NBA to get me to even think about respecting the New Jersey Nets franchise. So that is saying something as well, because he just carries class everywhere he goes. So you have to respect Paul Pierce, and it's going to be great to be able to honor him on Sunday, and then watch the Pats in the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great day of sports for the people of Boston, the people of New England. And honestly, if Celtics lose that game on Sunday, I don't think anybody's really going to be too worried about it, because it's just going to be a great moment to be able to send Pierce off into retirement, even though there's a few weeks left in the season and, of course, playoffs. But I hope he does get a lot of minutes. I know he doesn't play a whole lot this season, but I'm sure that he's going to give it his all on Sunday, and that'll be a lot of fun to watch.
All right, here's what we're going to do right here on the Celtics postgame show. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we've got Miley hanging on the line, Alan from Titletown. I want to talk to him as well. He's on the line. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Matt Rury. It's Nick Sesento. Celtics win at the Garden. They continue to roll. Your final score, Celtics 113, Los Angeles Lakers 107. And, oh, yeah, by the way, L.A., that puts the Celtics one game ahead of you guys for the all-time wins category, which I think is kind of a cool thing, kind of a big deal. How's it feel to be in second place, Los Angeles Lakers? It's the Celtics postgame show. We'll be right back.
The first segment of today's Celtics postgame show is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry or nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy to use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast and the first time. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses, and you can find out for free because you're a listener of the Celtics postgame show. Post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So Give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
I joined Get in Shape for Women because my health demanded a lifestyle change. My blood pressure was high, my cholesterol was high, and my weight was high. I love the trainers. They make it fun. They make it accountable. I'm getting lots of compliments, feeling confident, feeling fabulous. My name is Michelle Burns. I'm 46 years old. I'm down 25 pounds in 3 dress sizes.
Sign up for your free week trial today. Visit GetInShapeForWomen.com. That's GetInShapeForWomen.com.
CLNS Radio, CLNSRadio.com, it's the Celtics post-game show. Number to join us here in our Movement Watches, toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771. Your final score from the Garden this evening, Boston 113, Lakers 107. This is the sixth straight victory for your Boston Celtics, who have now won, check this out, they are 19-6. In their last 25 games. It's truly astounding the corner that this team has turned here in the last couple of months. And what this means, bigger picture for the Celtics, as we before we get to the calls here, is Brad Stevens officially tonight clinched his place, his staff clinched their place as coaches for the Eastern Conference All-Stars. The Celtics win coupled with the Toronto loss means that by Sunday, February 5th, which was the last day that coaches were eligible, essentially, if Toronto had been in second place, it would have been Casey and his staff. But because Toronto, who is now 2.5 games behind the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, cannot surpass the Celtics by Sunday, Brad Stevens locks it up. And I tell you what, without getting into a big discussion about this right now, because I do want to get to our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, this is a big deal, not only because it's a great honor and it's awesome for the Celtics on national TV, on a big stage, to have their coach, their coaching staff, and their best player all a part of the Eastern Conference All-Stars. But this is going to give the other stars throughout the NBA some real one-on-one time with Brad Stevens. And if this guy is half the recruiter that we think he is, and he can sort of make his mark on 24 of the best players on the planet, you have to believe that there's one or two of these guys that will be coming up as free agents or as part of a sign and trade or some scenario, be it this year, next year, the following year, where they might recall their time with Brad Stevens. And who would have thought, as Doc Rivers makes his way to the Garden this Sunday, who would have thought it would be Brad Stevens coaching an all-star team with this group of Celtics before Doc got the honor to do it out west with his Clippers. Matt, before we go to the calls, real quick, what are your thoughts on Stevens? And bigger picture, what this means, what this honor means for the Celtics as an organization?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the panic level just before Christmas around here was higher than it needed to be, as expected. And it seems to be that way every year. And we talk about how the team finds their groove in the following, or once the new year rolls around each season. So the panic level was pretty high, but to go from that to Brad Stevens being the Eastern Conference representative, as far as the coach is concerned, in the All-Star game is pretty impressive. People didn't think the Celtics could catch Toronto, and they're now, look what Toronto's fallen apart compared to what the Celtics have done over the past 6 weeks. Cleveland is even coming back to earth, it seems, and there's rumblings of issues happening out there. So the Celtics are the hottest team in the East right now, and all respect to Washington, they have been playing really well, and they are a formidable opponent. I wouldn't want to see them in an away series in the playoffs, but as long as the Celtics get that home court advantage, I think they would be able to take care of a team like that. As far as Stevens is concerned, overall, and the organization overall, I'll believe it when I see it, Patrick. I'm going to stay a cynic when it comes to stuff like that. I think that Stevens will be able to talk to these guys and show them one-on-one really what kind of a coach he is, what kind of a man he is. The fact that Isaiah will be there too is going to help. And then the rest of the coaching staff, of course. I'm sure that all they're going to be doing is just having a good time and just really not buttering guys up or anything like that, but just trying to show them, listen, we know the game of basketball. We'd love to see you in green someday, what have you, and just build those relationships, because that's the type of person that he comes across as. He's a relationship builder. He's not a guy that's trying to sell himself or the organization. He just wants people to view him at, for who he is, and if they want to come play for him at that point, then I'm sure he would be happy with that. So I'll believe it when I see it, basically.
I agree, and I'm sure people are sick of hearing you and I go on and on and on about the Celtics. There's just so much to get to with the Celtics as a whole, between what they've done tonight, now surpassing the Lakers, their sixth straight victory, 19-6 in their last 25, Paul Pierce coming back, the new documentary being released by our very own network, and Larry H. Russell. And I do want to get into Larry H. Russell's choice of wardrobe, because when Chris Wallace and Bob Ryan are in your movie and they're wearing suits, and this guy is rocking a popped collar on his golf shirt, but not really popped. He couldn't like decide if he wanted to pop that collar all the way or not. I've got so much to get to when it comes to, you know, two of the greatest basketball minds on the planet are all suited up for Larry H. Russell, and the dude can't decide if he wants to pop his collar all the way or only partially in the movie. So that's a big boy tease. If you haven't watched the movie yet, go to youtube.com/CLNS, go find the movie, and you will see this collar that Larry H. Russell is rocking that I'm talking about. But right now, let's get to our Movement Watchers toll-free phone line to 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. I want to bring in Alan from Titletown Apparel. And Alan, before you say anything, I do want to offer my condolences, the loss of your father. That's a big deal. And I'm really sorry for your loss. And I was thinking about you all week, my friend.
I appreciate that. And I actually posted on my Instagram, which I don't usually use for like personal stuff, you know, just Celtics and Peloton related stuff. But it's amazing how many people have like reached out and sent messages and their condolences. And I got cards, I got, you know, flowers and plants from people. And it's just like people I don't even know really reaching out. And you can really see how when people say green runs deep, it really does, you know, on and off the court, Celtics and family life matters and all that stuff. So it was really, you know, a tough time for me, but it was, you know, a little bit easier knowing that I wasn't alone. So I appreciate it. So on to some Celtic stuff. Actually, Larry H. Russell reached out to me today with a little snippet of his YouTube clip on Paul Pierce. And at first, when he sent it to me, I watched a good portion of it. And I thought he was asking me what I thought about Pierce being the best pure scorer about the Celtics. So I was like, Havlicek, you know, is debatable, and Bird, this and that. And he goes, no, I didn't ask you about that. He goes, how was the video itself? And it was a well put together video, very insightful, a lot of great interviews. It's definitely a good view. So definitely give that video a view. It's definitely worth it, especially if you're a diehard Celtics fan, especially if you're a diehard Paul Pierce fan. So definitely good stuff by Larry H. Russell.
I'll say this, Alan. What surprised me, and it probably shouldn't surprise me at this point after working with CLNS here for 13 months now, I shouldn't be surprised by this, but I am. The first thing that struck me when I watched the video, in all seriousness, was let's say that CSN had put this out, or ESPN as a 30 for 30 had put this out. I wouldn't have second-guessed that, because the quality of the audio and video was so great. It looked like something that belonged on one of the big boy networks. It didn't look like something shot on your cell phone. You know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
What struck
me. Absolutely, yeah. It was smooth, good edits, good sound quality. It was definitely like movie-style production. So, yeah, good big ups to Larry H. Russell. Just one more quick thing, because I got to go. I'm actually meeting Crowder here at Boston to drop off some sweatshirts to him. But how long can we ride Mr. Fourth Quarter, King of the Fourth? I mean, what he's doing right now is phenomenal. It's probably one of the greatest things I've seen from any sport player in a while. Being 5'9", he's, you know, another 17 points in the fourth tonight, 38 points. He had 40 the previous, I think, three games. There's going to be a point in time where teams are going to really start blitzing him with two big guys, really forcing the ball out of his hands, and we're going to need other guys to step up. And you do see Jaylen Brown, he's been stepping up, and I know Crowder had, you know, kind of a he's been shaky for a couple games, but he ever last like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he's really been playing really, really good. He's been averaging like 17, 18 points a game with his low scoring output at 15. So we are getting signs of, you know, him playing better, Jaylen Brown playing better. And another thing I saw today was, and I didn't really notice, was that Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart are number one and number two on the Celtics for plus minus. So did that kind of surprise you guys? It kind of surprised me a little bit. You figured it would be Isaiah.
Yeah, I don't really buy into the plus minus stat, but we can get into that in a few minutes. But as far as scoring is concerned, despite what I said about leaning towards Avery Bradley being expendable, I think that's even more reason for them to get him healthy and get him back, because he is going to have to score or provide a scoring punch. Otherwise, they're going to have to rely on guys like Crowder and Brown, like you said, and even Al Horford. Al Horford has been quiet on the offensive end. If Bradley doesn't come back to provide a little bit of a jump shooting scoring punch, they're going to have to ask Horford to do more too. So it's just going to be a team effort, and whoever is hot that night is going to be the guy that is going to have to relieve Thomas a little bit, because you're right, he is going to get swallowed up at some point, and they're going to have to find some other ways to score.
But guys, I will say this when it comes to Isaiah Thomas real quick. Defenses have been sort of honing in on him for a while now, but what the Celtics have done better this year, and I give a lot of credit to Brad Stevens and especially Marcus Smart, Marcus has become a much better point guard this year. So the Celtics are much more comfortable allowing Isaiah to play off the ball. So if teams are double-teaming him, you'll notice a very subtle change, and Marcus starts bringing the ball up. It allows Isaiah to run through screens, run through picks, get himself free. And Isaiah is the type of guy that once he hits two or three shots, that confidence level goes up and the offensive explosion begins to happen. And if you pay attention, the next two or three games, when they open the fourth quarter, many, many times it's Isaiah coming off the ball to get him going in the fourth quarter. Last year they tried to do that in the playoffs, and Marcus just wasn't good enough to allow the Celtics to do that effectively.
And how about going back to Al Horford needing to step up? Now, how about like the first 3 minutes of the game, first possession, they dumped it down to Horford, nice turnaround jump shot. Next possession, caught the ball on a block, laid it in, nice move. Then like two possessions later, open three, top of the key. Very assertive, very aggressive. And then he kind of like just, kind of like Jay Crowder, where he has that good first quarter or first couple good minutes, and then he kind of just is lackadaisical and he's kind of just falls off the planet. Like, what's going on with that, Patrick?
You tell me, man. I don't know about this, but I think that Al Horford misses a bunny every couple of weeks, and when he misses one of those layups, it gets in his head or something.
Well,
you're
right. Al Horford is comfortable. He's comfortable being a pacifist. Okay, and that's why the Celtics oftentimes will force feed him the ball early on in the game to sort of get him going a little bit, because he's not going to assert himself to get himself going. He's just never going to be that guy. You know, tonight he had quote unquote a disappointing game, but when you look at the stat line, he was two assists and two rebounds short of a triple double. So he fills up the stat line.
Grandy referred to that as an amazing. Triple single, by the way, on the radio.
He had an impactful game for sure, but it's a little less on offense recently than you might want from him down the stretch in the season, because Isaiah's going to get burned out at some point. He's not going to score 40 every night, is he, guys? I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's going to prove
this
all.
Not when teams have 3-4 days to game plan like during a series, when they're going to be able to really dissect and really try to expose his weaknesses, and then really know that, hey, you know what? To wear him out on offense, we got to wear him down on defense. Let's run him off screen. Let's be physical, kind of like what the Cavs and the Thunder did to Curry in the playoffs. You know, they were running off screens, they were elbowing them, they were getting chippy with them, and that kind of is, I think, what teams need to do.
No, I think you're right. Look, the Celtics do need more. We've said it all season long, and I'll tease myself here a little bit. Do you got to go, Alan? Is that Crowder beeping his horn at you?
You know what? I will let you go. I'll let you guys get to the next call. But hey, I do appreciate you guys so much. And said everything for thanks for all the prayers and the thoughts. And I really do appreciate you guys. Keep up the good work. And as always, you know, visit TeddleTownApparel.com. We got some good, great stuff. I feel like Isaiah shirts. I mean, who doesn't want to feel like Isaiah? Hit the website, grab a shirt, grab a hoodie. You know, grab a I Feel Like Jesus, grab a Just Do I t-shirt. I know Nick Gelso grabbed one. He loves it. He hit me up the other day saying he loves the shirt. So if you want to feel good, look good, go to TitleTownApparel.com and grab yourself a shirt or a hoodie.
All right. God bless you, Alan. Good luck with everything and your family, and I'm sure we'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Alan from Titletown Apparel. Check out TitletownApparel.com. Get yourself hooked up with some pretty cool Celtics gear, the stuff that you don't see in your mainstream stores. It's actually it makes a fashion statement, and he wasn't kidding when he said that he's got a hookup with Jay Crowder right now. Crowder and his family and his entire sort of group of friends, let's say, that travel with Crowder, they all rock Titletown, not just shirts and hoodies, but if you pay attention to their feet, sometimes during pregame, you'll see them out there talking to the media, just sort of hanging out when the CSN goes to a shot of the Garden, say 5:30, 6 o'clock. So not the pregame warmups, but literally 2 hours before the game. And you'll see Crowder out there on the floor rocking his JC flip-flops that Alan makes as well. So it's a complete line of apparel. Check it out. Check out Alan. And if you haven't had a chance, see Alan on Facebook. Find him on Facebook. Wish him well. It's been a tough week for Alan and his family. It's a Celtics post-game show right here. CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. Celtics win at the Garden. Your final score, Celtics 113. The Los Angeles Lakers 107. Boston led by another explosive performance by the one and only Isaiah Thomas, really doing his thing and asserting himself in the fourth quarter. Once again, the Celtics now just two games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers for first place in the Eastern Conference, trail Cleveland by just one game in the win column, which that number just keeps jumping out at me. The Celtics now 14 games over 500 with 32 wins. The championship conversation leaders, let's say, the future champion favorites. I don't know if they're still the favorites or if they're either first or second between them and the Warriors, have 33 wins. And the fact that the Celtics have 32 wins at the same time is just absolutely astounding to me. I do want to stay with our movement watches. Toll-free phone lines, there's room for you as well if you want to join the program at 347-215-7771. Let's get right back out to those phone lines and welcome in Miley. And I think Miley wants to talk about Al Horford and the one and only Isaiah Thomas as well. Miley, welcome to the program, man.
Thanks. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are living the dream.
That's good. So what was your guys' thoughts about those two performances tonight?
Well, what do you think? Before we get going, you know, we've been talking for 45 minutes. What do you think about their performances, Miley?
Well, I thought Isaiah Thomas played pretty well, and Al Horford, he got on fire to start off the game and created more space for Isaiah to score. So I thought they did pretty well overall.
What do you think of another – let's just call it disappointing or mediocre offensive performance by Al Horford? Does it concern you at all that he's not really asserting himself and taking some of that pressure, some of that load off of Isaiah on the offensive end?
Well, yes and no. Because I kind of feel like if we keep giving Isaiah Thomas the load more, that he's going to get at least, hopefully, 40 points a game at least, and get the franchise record.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, Miley, I don't know. I find it to be a tall task for him to score that many points a game down the stretch here. We were just talking about it with Allen, and teams are going to start keying in on him. So they're going to need more from Al Horford. So that's why I was interested to hear what you were going to say about Horford, because – I think that he's going to need to be more assertive down the stretch here. And for whatever reason, if he is shying away from trying to score, especially if he's got a good matchup, which maybe he didn't have the greatest of matchups tonight. Mozgov is definitely a bigger player than him. Not a great defensive player, though. So I feel like Horford needs to assert himself a little bit more down the stretch, because they're not going to get this type of scoring from Isaiah night in and night out. And I'm going to keep saying that until the end of the season, when I either have to say, look, I was totally wrong, or he did tail off a little bit.
Okay. Well, yeah, I agree right there too.
You got anything else for us, Miley?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you guys, what else did you think of tonight's game?
Well, you know, something we haven't had a chance to really touch on yet is the comparison between the second and third guys taken in the draft last year. And look, not what they've done thus far this season, but just watching the back and forth between Ingram and Jaylen Brown tonight, because Jaylen, to me, there was a little bit of an extra spring in his step out there. He was first to the ball every time there was a loose ball. It was impressive. Not only the 12 points were impressive, but the confidence that he shot the ball with. I think back to that pull-up three that he shot. Hubie Brown, I was watching on the ESPN broadcast, and Hubie Brown had just got through saying that he needed to work on his jumper, and then Jaylen proceeds to go down, hit a pull-up three, beautiful-looking shot. The following possession hits a nice fadeaway jumper from about 16 feet. He looked very smooth, specifically on the offensive end. You know, he finishes with 12 points. Ingram with 14 points on 5 of 10 shooting. You can see why Lakers fans are excited about this kid, despite the fact that he's far too thin. I mean, this guy is thinner than Tayshaun Prince, which is telling you something. But I found the comparison between these two and the energy in which these two played tonight, 2 versus 3, a fun little subplot to the game.
Yeah, the Lakers, just by the way, are a very strange team. They start Luol Deng, who is an aging veteran, and he really doesn't get a lot of minutes. And then they bring in some younger guys off the bench, and they tend to play a little bit more. Ingram is one of those guys, and you're right. He doesn't look ready for the NBA, or at least he doesn't look as ready as Jaylen Brown does. And that's the thing that people didn't really realize when they were looking at the draft and saying – and criticizing Ainge for not trading the pick. Ainge went and got one of the most ready players in this rookie class. And there's no denying that. He's going to be in the race for Rookie of the Year if he continues to get the minutes that he's been seeing over the past couple of weeks.
Well, hold on. That's a very big statement for somebody who wasn't even invited to play in the rookie sophomore game. I mean, that's a long jump from there to Rookie of the Year, isn't it, Matt?
It is, but I feel like the trajectory that he's been on recently, while these other rookies are playing well and they're doing what they've been doing for a while, Brown is finally getting the time and the confidence, and it's starting to grow, and it's growing exponentially from game to game. So I'm just predicting here on a whim that over the next 2 weeks, he's going to climb his way up into that conversation, and you're going to see people talking about him as potential Rookie of the Year, and definitely a guy that is competing with having a better season than a guy like Brandon Ingram. So if that's motivation for Jaylen Brown, then that's fine. However he's got to do it, he's going to end up doing it. I just like the way that he's been trending over the past few weeks.
Yeah, you have to like what you've seen from Jaylen specifically in the last couple of weeks. It looks like he's starting to, quote-unquote, get it. And I don't want to simplify it that much, but if you go back and you watch some film from October, November, even most of December, there were times for long stretches where he looked lost out there. You no longer see that. Does he still make rookie boneheaded mistakes? Of course he does. But for the majority of the time that he's on the court, not only is he contributing positively to what the Celtics are doing, you can tell that Brad Stevens suddenly has a tremendous amount of confidence in this kid to play him in crunch time, not just tonight, but game over game. And the more this kid grows offensively, the more his confidence grows, the better defensively he is, the more sort of confidence his team has in him. And I think it means something, because let's not forget how intelligent he is. This kid not only is physically gifted, but I was there on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, where he was invited to speak to the crowd before the game. And there is this kid that just turned 20 years old. He's new to the city. He's far from a superstar, so I'm sure he's not beaming with the sort of confidence that a guy like Isaiah Thomas has naturally. And he got in front of 18,000 people and spoke so eloquently. And I saw for the first time not just a short little snippet from CSN or ESPN, where anybody can sound great in that sort of setting for 30, 45 seconds. But I saw him out there in an uncomfortable, nerve-wracking situation addressing the crowd for a good 7 or 8 minutes. And it was just, it was something, a sight to behold, because I truly understood and got it, what Danny Ainge saw every time that he met with this kid. And when people said how good of a speaker he was and how eloquent he was and how well-educated he was, there is something different and unique about what Jaylen Brown brings to the table, the total package, Matt.
He gets it. He definitely knows what he needs to do to succeed. It's just a matter of working hard and getting there and paying attention and studying the game. And he is a student of the game. So when I don't, people probably think that I'm being blasphemous or being a homer by saying that he should be considered in the Rookie of the Year conversation. Obviously there are a handful of players that are putting up better numbers. If you want to consider Joel Embiid a rookie, that's fine. I'm not putting him in the conversation, even though this is his first official season in the NBA. There are other guys that I just think over the course of the next couple of weeks, Jaylen Brown might be able to surpass what people are looking at as far as rookies in this league, because some of the guys towards the bottom of this top 10 they're up and down. And I mean, then you start talking about Ingram, who's been pretty consistent and he's been playing pretty well. But I just, from what I saw tonight, if Brown continues going in this trend, then he's going to leap a bunch of these players by the end of the season. And that's great for the Celtics because he's a great young talent. So I want to see how he improves and how far he can actually go. So I don't know. That's a technicality on my part as far as Embiid is concerned, but it's one of those things that I'm just going to be stubborn about, you know?
There's nothing wrong with being a little bit stubborn. It makes you who you are, Matt. It makes you, quite frankly, one of my favorite guys to work with on the network because you are stubborn. It adds a little bit of something to the program. Nobody likes boring radio, and if you got a take and you want to stick with that take, but you're stubborn, but you're not unreasonable, because you're right. Up until about a month ago, you were sticking to your guns about Isaiah Thomas being the odd man out. That's the guy that you trade. You don't build around Isaiah, and you are coming around to the other side. So that's I am impressed by, yes, you're stubborn, but you're also reasonably stubborn. When something happens as sort of special and magical as what's taken place with Isaiah in the last couple of months, you don't ignore it because of the take that you once had. You have to embrace it.
You have to embrace it. And I think I still believe in the take that I had at the time. I think at the time he was the most valuable player on the Celtics. And at the time around Christmas, the team was not looking like they were going to be a top 2 to 3 seed in the East. They were looking like one of these middling teams. So if you wanted to really improve your team, I was thinking that you needed to get the best value in return. And he was the guy to give you that. Now he looks like the type of player that is untradeable, and you shouldn't trade him for anything. And that's just a testament to the way he's been playing and the work that he's put in over the last 6 weeks. And you have to give him credit for it, regardless of what you were trying to say back then.
Yeah, we got two big gift-giving holidays coming up, Matt. We've got Valentine's Day coming up in less than 2 weeks, and my 37th birthday is 1 week from today. So everybody, myself included, you know, it's a great time to get a movement watch, and we all know that department store watches cost $400, $500, $600, but our friends at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and they're passing that savings directly on to you. And to, when I say to you, I'm speaking to my wife that's listening in the bedroom across the way. I would like a Movement Watch for my birthday, dear. $95, take it from my account. You can say that you bought it. It's okay. So our good friends over at Movement Watches have taken that middleman out, and they're passing that savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, they are affordable. They start at just $95. Here's what you need to do. Head on over to movementwatches.com. It's MVMTwatches.com/CelticsB to get you 15% off that first order and free shipping. One more time, dear, because I know you're listening. It's movementwatches, MVMTwatches.com/CelticsB. When we come back, our third and final segment, I do want to talk a little bit more about Larry H. Russell, his questionable decision with the golf shirt, the collar popped, the collar not popped, and of course, the incredible documentary, the incredible video that has begun to be released this weekend. The first few segments are released right now on the CLNS Radio Network, the CLNS YouTube channel. It's called, once again, Paul Pierce, the greatest pure scorer in Celtics history. And we come back, I do want to get Nick Sesento's take on Paul Pierce. Historically speaking, do you agree that Paul Pierce, Nick, I want you to think about this during the break, is Paul Pierce truly the greatest scorer in the history of the Celtics? Are you in the camp of Bob Ryan? Are you in the camp of Larry H. Russell? Because there's plenty of other people that will argue with you. I know one guy that will tell you that Kevin McHale, for a short burst, was a better scorer than Paul Pierce and a better scorer than Larry Bird. When we come back, it's Paul Pierce Talk right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com.
The bar don't lie.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It makes it's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles to toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio. CLNSradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy alongside Matt Rory, Nick Sesento behind the glass this evening, taking your phone calls on our movement watches at toll-free phone line 347-215-7771. Your final score from the Garden: the Celtics win again. Celtics 113, the Lakers 107. The Celtics now passing the Lakers on the all-time win list in the NBA. The Celtics now stand alone as the all-time winningest franchise in the history of the NBA, the sixth straight victory for the Celtics. The Celtics also winners of 19 out of their last 25 games. That's good for second place in the Eastern Conference. They pick up a half a game this evening on the idle Cleveland Cavaliers. They also pick up a full game on the Toronto Raptors, who are now 4.5 behind Cleveland, two and a half games behind the Celtics, and fading quickly. Because of the tiebreaker, Toronto has now dropped all the way to fourth place in the Eastern Conference. Let's stick with our movement watches, toll-free phone lines, and bring in another one of our hosts here on CLNS Radio, one of my favorite co-hosts to work with. Bobby Manning may not be working tonight, but that doesn't mean that this guy doesn't have an opinion tonight. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Oh, you know me. I'm always working, Patrick, always on call. But my biggest point tonight, and, you know, we could talk about Isaiah Thomas for days. What he's doing right now is just magical. We're going to look back on this years from now, and just our heads are going to spin off our necks at what he's doing right now. It's just unfathomable. But tonight, I think the people who need to get a little more credit is that bench unit. When they came off the pine after Thomas put up about 12 points in the first 10 minutes, they really set a nice tone on this game and, you know, made a statement that they were just much better than that Lakers second unit, and it wasn't even close. And the guy who really got it all going was Marcus Smart. And the playmaker he's become for a guy who isn't much of a scorer, doesn't have a great shot, a lot of these playmaking guards in the NBA now really use their own scoring as a starting point for what they do offensively. And the way Smart gets by just off pure, you know, court vision and passing ability and just seeing where guys are at the right moment, it just continues to amaze me. And he is really getting the second unit going. I thought Rozier really benefited from his passing tonight. Olynyk gets so many nice clean looks off him. And I'm wondering, you know, is that bench unit starting to come around in your eyes? I feel like that was such a big strength of theirs over other teams a year ago. And this early in the season, it was so disappointing. But Olynyk's been better lately, I feel like. Rozier's made his way off the bench. And I think those guys getting back into it, Smart has a great deal to do with.
Yeah, so as far as the bench is concerned, Bradley being out has sort of been a blessing in disguise for them and for Jaylen Brown starting. And I think even more than that is the fact that Smart had that little blow up on the bench. He was sent to the bench for a game, and I think Steven saw something in that one game when Marcus came back that he should be coming off the bench. He should be the anchor of that second unit. Because then at some point you rotate Thomas in and the two of them are on the floor together and they are a tough tandem to deal with when Marcus is on. So he definitely was the catalyst tonight. I think that he's the one that really set the tone, and he's coming around as far as his consistency is concerned. He's having more really impactful games than those medium impactful games that he was having, and some of the stuff where he just was a ghost out there at times early in the season. You didn't know which guy was going to show up. So, Bobby, in that regard, I think that he has definitely stepped up and he's earning his minutes. But I want to know from you, where do you stand as far as Avery Bradley is concerned? Patrick and I talked a little bit about it earlier, saying that we're both sort of leaning towards saying that Bradley is more expendable than he was a while ago because guys like Brown and Smart are playing so well right now. How do you feel about Bradley and when he comes back? Do the Celtics need him? Do they or are they going to go back to what they were doing a few weeks ago when he was actually playing?
It's a very interesting conversation, and it's one that we're going to continue to talk about, I feel like, more and more is that free agency in a year and a half now comes up where they're all three of them are going to be out of a contract. But right now, you look at all three of those guards and every single night, and of course Bradley's been out for over 10 games now, I think it is, but you look at all three of those guys and the things they do just add so much to this team. You wish you didn't really have to pick between those guys, but I still say the most expendable of them all is Marcus Smart, just because it really is, especially when we get to playoff time. And me and Patrick have talked about this before. It's a make-or-miss league, especially when you get to playoff time, and you need knockdown shooters. And that's going to bring me to my other point, and Jalen Rose really put this in my head tonight after the game. At what point are teams going to start double-teaming Thomas and really putting that extra pressure on him to get the ball out and make other guys get baskets, because that's what the Atlanta Hawks did against the Celtics last postseason so well. And when the ball was outside of Thomas's hands, a lot of players on the Celtics outside of Thomas had a tough time putting the ball in the net. And
but
that's
Bobby,
why I still see value.
Yeah, Bobby, can I just – I got to say this about Isaiah Thomas and the double teaming and whatnot. It's easy for Jalen Rose, who's been out of the league for a decade. I heard his comment too, to say that. But I will say that defenses have been creative with Isaiah, and there have been double and even triple teams on Isaiah. Defenses do hone in on him the same as they did last year. There's two big differences to Isaiah Thomas and why he's been able to sort of break free from the double teams and continue to put up these ungodly numbers. First of all, the Celtics, Marcus Smart is a better point guard than he was last year. I talked about this earlier in the program. In the Celtics, when it looks like Isaiah is starting to get locked up defensively, they simply run him off the ball, and they do it with confidence this year. Well, last year, they couldn't do that with confidence. They tried to do it in the playoffs with against the Atlanta Hawks and make Marcus Smart the primary ball handler. It didn't work. The ball had to be in Isaiah's hands. He had to do everything last year. The second part of this is it's a big reason why the Celtics acquired Al Horford. Last year, the Celtics ball movement was good. This year, it is great. It is a step below the Spurs, but you could tell that it's inspired by the Spurs. Look, the Spurs make it look easy because of all the talent on their roster, but if you watch Spurs games and then watch Celtics games, then watch Spurs games, you can tell where Brad Stevens gets his inspiration from. And when you have the sort of ball movement that the Celtics have this year, it's easier to get guys open looks and get them sort of unhinged. They haven't allowed defenses to lock in and hone in on Isaiah Thomas for long periods of time where double teams and triple teams would affect him the way they did last year, because they've got a better backcourt. They've got the guys in their backcourt have gotten better, I should say. And the Celtics ball movement is tenfold better than it was last year, thus freeing up Isaiah Thomas.
Hey, you got a great point. 8 assists for Horford tonight, 7 assists for Smart. That ball movement is crucial. The only thing I'll say before I let you guys continue with the program tonight, I can't wait to see Stevens coaching the All-Star team. I mean, 2 years ago, we watched him, you know, pull wins out of his butt with the most makeshift roster you'll ever see. Now we're going to see him toying around with the best players in the league. I have not been so excited for an All-Star game probably in my entire life than I am now.
Yeah, and Patrick, I couldn't have said that any better, so I'm glad you answered Bobby's question, because you've hit it on the head as far as what the Celtics need to do when Isaiah starts to get doubled, and they've already shown that a little bit. We discussed it a little earlier in the show, so Bobby, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Isaiah's scoring goes down a little bit, but the rest of the team, their scoring is going to go up in that regard, because I think the offense is pretty fluid, and if they run the system the way that it's meant to be run and they play hard, I think they're gonna actually look pretty good come playoff time, as long as they can get some rebounds. They still need to find somebody to get some rebounds.
Well, and again, Bobby, before you go, the other part of this is, look, it's early February. The Celtics have been rolling. The basket is looking very big to guys like Kelly Olynyk, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier right now. But Bobby, you do bring up a good point. When it's April and the sun's a little bit stronger and the temperatures are a little bit warmer and the Celtics are on the road, it's very possible that rim looks a little bit smaller to guys like Jaylen Brown, Kelly Olynyk, and Terry Rozier. And then who do the Celtics lean on? And that's when a guy like Avery Bradley, where right now he does look expendable, especially when you factor in the contract and the fact that if you rank the three of them, you know that Isaiah is going to get the most money. Marcus will get the least out of the three. So it sort of makes sense to say goodbye to Avery Bradley in a trade, because you've only got so much money to go around. But who else would you have confidence in come playoff time when that rim gets exponentially smaller for these guys that are hitting jumpers right now during the dog days of the NBA season?
Well, on the end of that passing sequence that you talked about, I'd love to see Jay Crowder right now, the way he's playing. I mean, top 10 in three-point percentage. It's finally looking more and more every night like his legs are getting under him. He's been able to get to the basket better. His rebounding has gone up over the last 10, 12 games. And, you know, he's putting up about 19 points a night, which for the, you know, you'd say fourth scoring option on the team come playoff time if they're healthy, which they haven't been so far. And that's another amazing thing about this run they've been on, is through how all these injuries they've been through. But Crowder's really got to be that guy, the fourth option on the team. If they're putting pressure on those other three guys, there's a big passing sequence. Crowder's got to be the guy knocking down those open shots. And, you know, being in that position this year, he's taken full advantage of it. And I give him a ton of credit for becoming the knockdown shooter he has. I've really been a big fan of Crowder since he got here. And the way he continues to adjust to be the guy the team needs him to be in a bunch of different positions, whether it's been the four, whether it's been a knockdown shooter, a shot creator for himself. He really has been a versatile option, an underrated part of the success they've had these last six games or so. 18 the night, 6 of 12 shooting, three-point percentage still up around 43%. I wish he was in the three-point contest, get more Celtics representation down in New Orleans there, but that won't be the case anyways. I'm glad this team's going to get a little rest. And before I go, you talked about, you know, the rim getting a little smaller, the getting a little tougher for this team. That schedule out of the All-Star break is going to test this team a little more than they have been this last month or two. There's a lot of West Coast games coming up. I think they have two big stretches of West Coast games coming up in late February and March. So that'll be an interesting time, those late-night games where we're going to be getting that post-game show going at like 1 a.m., 1:30. Those will be interesting times for this team.
Bobby, before you go real quick, plug the Bobcast. When's the next edition coming out? What do you got coming up on the program?
Well, on the Bobcast last week, we had Beasts from the Northeast up in the power line, headed by Kevin Zwerbel, who has some amazing gear, especially Celtics gear that we talk a lot on this program about. He sent me an amazing Isaiah Thomas design, and we talked about how he got started, some of the relationships he's built with players through that. And this week, I'm keeping it secret for now. I'm working out the kinks in a special edition of the show that we're going to have coming up next weekend. So I'll be releasing that on Twitter at Real Bob Manning in the coming days. But
that's a big boy radio tease.
We always like the publicity.
That is a big boy radio tease right there, Bobby. I appreciate you calling in, and we'll talk to you real soon, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Enjoy the night.
All right, there goes the one and only Bobby Manning. I tell you what, Matt, you got something about from Jaylen Brown about Paul Pierce?
Yeah, while you guys were talking, I was just scrolling through Twitter, and Jay King put something out there and says that Jaylen Brown can't wait to play Paul Pierce because he's got the mid-range game. He would take those elbow shots, the step-back fadeaways, and all of that. So apparently Jaylen Brown studied his game and watched his game pretty closely, and he's pumped that Pierce is going to be back in Boston just as much as we are. So that's pretty cool.
The Celtics have been looking for a Paul Pierce replacement since Paul Pierce left, and it's very possible that Jaylen Brown could be that guy. And I tell you what, if he is watching tape and film and studying Paul Pierce's game, that's a good thing. Once again, it lends to the intelligence that this kid has. And I tell you what, there's a lot of guys with his freakish athleticism that might look at a guy like Vince Carter and say, I want to be that type of player and elevate above the rim. But Paul Pierce has hung on for so long, and he was still a very effective basketball player up until 2 years ago when he went on that playoff run with the Wizards as an effective guy, a guy that could still be very dangerous. I think he hit back-to-back game winners and could have had back-to-back-to-back game winners in that Wizards hit when he played for the Wizards, but that three that he hit to go to overtime was just like 0.00001.
After the buzzer. I remember walking out of a bar in Newton, if anybody knows the area around here, and I was looking back and seeing, wait a minute, did that go in? Wait a minute, did that go in? And I had to run back to the window of the bar and watch for a few minutes, just waiting to see. And people were like, come on, we're leaving, let's go. And I'm like, I just need to make sure that this – and it's when he's on the Wizards. So that just shows you how much Paul Pierce means to Celtics fans.
I was hoping that the Wizards
had won a basketball game because of him.
Before we get out of here, Matt, what's your – and I put you on the spot, so I apologize. But top of your head, your favorite Paul Pierce memory?
Oh, man. My favorite Paul Pierce memory. I think for me it has to just be being at the game when he was just at the free throw line for his – it was either his 25,000th point or he surpassed – somebody on the scoring list for the Celtics, and it was just it's obviously it's not sticking in my mind vividly enough to have the details right off the top of my head, but I just remember being there for that and saying this guy has been around for so long and he has done it all in a Celtics uniform, and it was a nice tribute to him and to be able to be in the arena for that. I mean, there's countless others and more exciting moments than him scoring a milestone point at the free throw line, but that's the one that really stands out for me.
It's pretty special. And yeah, I'll share mine real quick. Back in 2000, I was a cameraman and a producer in the early days of my media career for New England Cable News. And about 48 hours, I'm gonna guess, after he was stabbed 11 times and came within tenths of inches of losing his life, when a leather jacket saves your life, you know that God is on your side and somebody's watching over you. Tony Battee helped save his life, carrying him out of the club, taking him, putting him in the backseat of the car, taking him over to the hospital in Boston. And it was touch and go for a while. So when he was stabbed, when news broke, we weren't allowed to leave New England Cable News until there was some further development, put it that way, because it was so touch and go. And we were at the time the only regional 24-hour news station. So we had to continue trying to get updates and figure out what was going on with this guy. And don't forget, this is just 7 years removed from Reggie Lewis dying. So Reggie was still pretty fresh in everybody's memory. But my favorite memory is just a couple days later, I was there operating the cameras when he walked out of the hospital and told the crowd, told everybody that gathered around, that he planned at being at Celtics training camp. And if you remember correctly, he didn't play in any exhibition games that year, but he did play on opening night. He didn't miss a single game after being stabbed 11 times.
Not even that. I mean, that's a wonderful story, and we're glad that he lived through that. But that's just one of the stories of toughness that Paul Pierce has brought to the table over the course of his career. People will criticize him for the wheelchair thing in the finals, where he went off in the wheelchair and he came back and played in the same game with that apparent knee injury. That whatever. I don't care what you have to say about that. This man lost teeth one day, got them replaced, and then played in a basketball game later after the surgery that night. So this is not the stuff of legends. This is not a myth. This is actual things that a basketball player has gone through. And sure, there were a lot tougher guys in the 80s and early 90s even. But when you're talking about a player in our era, your adult, full adult life, there aren't many guys that are tougher or play through as many injuries as Paul Pierce did. So in that regard as well, he's a man that works hard and goes to work, and he fights through things, even things that are life threatening, such as the stabbing that you just mentioned. So
he's a throwback.
Hats off to him.
He's a throwback, and I'm afraid, as an NBA fan, an NBA junkie, and as somebody that will always, regardless of whether I'm working in this business or not, I am always going to be an NBA guy and an NBA junkie. If there's an NBA basketball game on and my kids aren't demanding to watch some asinine show on Nickelodeon, I'm going to watch the NBA basketball game, whether it's the Celtics or not. I love this sport. I love this game. That being said, these guys are cut from a different cloth, and now I sound like an old man. But Paul Pierce was truly a throwback player, and those guys, they really don't exist anymore. And I hope when I watch Jaylen Brown, I think I see a little bit of that throwback attitude in him, a little bit of that throwback game in him, and I hope that maybe lightning will strike twice here in Boston and we'll be blessed with another athlete that goes down a similar trajectory as Paul Pierce did, because as it was happening, I'm not sure we all appreciated it. And now that it's about to wrap up and end, I certainly hope fans are able to take a look back with the help of Larry H. Russell this weekend on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. One more time, we've got just wall-to-wall coverage this weekend of Paul Pierce's last and final return to Boston right here on CLNS Radio. We've got Larry H. Russell's film. It's called Paul Pierce, the Greatest Pure Scorer in Celtics History. The film features interviews from former Celtics general manager Chris Wallace, Sean Grandy, and Bob Ryan. It was produced by the one and only Kyle George. It's very easy to get a hold of the movie. Just subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel, and you won't miss any further details. So head on over to clnsradio.com right now. Check out the first portions of the film that were released today. The remainder will be released over the course of the weekend. And not to be outdone by Larry H. Russell, starting tomorrow at noon, Comcast Sportsnet New England will begin playing a marathon of Paul Pierce's greatest games as a Celtic, which is just going to be really cool and really fun to watch the next couple of days leading up to the Super Bowl, because you know there's going to be some games from that 01-02 season. You're going to see Tony Delk on your TV screen in a Celtics uniform again. And look, I never thought I'd say that again. Aside from YouTube, I never thought I would see Tony Delk on my high-definition 60-inch that didn't exist in 2001. That TV wasn't invented yet. And now I get to watch Tony Delk in full high definition. And really, Matt, as we get out of here, what's better than that?
Tony Delk, that's a throwback. Let's not get started on guys like that. Adrian Griffin, who else is out there? Bring them all back.
Vitaly Potapenko, I mean, you really want to go down this road? Yeah, there's quite a bit. So that's it, Matt. We appreciate everybody for listening tonight. We appreciate everybody that joined the program. Of course, tonight's show will be available for on-demand listening. All you need to do is search the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and, of course, on Stitcher. You want to like us. You want to get yourself the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. You follow us on social media. It's at CLNS Radio on Twitter. You like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNSFans. You head on over to ESPNNHradio.com. You can find old episodes of the program. You find ESPN New Hampshire on Facebook. It's real easy to do. Today's show was brought to you by our friends at ZipRecruiter. It's easy to start using ZipRecruiter for free. Head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Also, Blue Apron. Head on over to BlueApron.com/CLNS. It gets you three free meals and free shipping. Don't forget about our friends at Movement Watches. It's MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat. Gets you 15% off your first purchase with free shipping. We cannot possibly forget about Audible.com. It's audiblepodcast.com/trynow. Gets you 30 days for free of audiobooks. Our music tonight was provided by the one and only and legendary Nick Sesento. And Nick, I apologize. I did not get you the Nick Sesento minute. I have to get up at 5 a.m. for hockey for my son. I need to go to bed. I will give you double time on our next show together, I promise. And Joshua Morse, I want to thank all of today's callers and everybody who tuned in to the program. For CLNS Radio, executive producer Larry H. Russell, our program director, Justin Poole, and check Justin out. New episodes of Celtic Stuff Live featuring the one and only John Duke come out each and every Monday. And, of course, the founder of our network, Nick Gelso. For my co-host this evening, Matt Rury and Nick Sesento, I am Patrick Gilroy, and I will see everybody back here again the day after tomorrow. When the Celtics take on the Clippers, it'll be myself and Ty Ray giving you a little Celtics post-game, Patriots pre-game action coming up on Sunday. Once again, your final score from the Garden this evening. The Celtics win their 6 in a row. Celtics 113, Lakers 107. For Matt, for Nick, I'm Patrick. We'll see everybody here Sunday, better known as Paul Pierce Day. You got nothing to do this weekend? Head on over. Make sure you check out Larry H. Russell and the Paul Pierce movie. Once again, Paul Pierce, the greatest pure scorer in Celtics history. Starring the one and only Larry H. Russell and his popped, not so popped, yet popped again collar. We'll see you guys all on Sunday.